Atlanta Life Radio Station, WALR, bringing you the best in talk radio.
Not everyone is wired that way. In fact, the imperative this that talks about this group of elite professionals that are wired around purpose as being only 27%. So in a lot of ways, this is an elite group of folks. And so we like to get those folks together. And, man, did we have a time last year when we were able to do so. So this year, we're getting ready to host that again. I want to send you online when you have the opportunity. If you have not had a chance to register, to please, I wanted to encourage you to please join us. The link to get to the registration is 2017onpurpose.eventbrite.com. That's 2017onpurpose.eventbrite, eventbrite.com. We're really excited about the conference this year. We've done some new things in addition to the things that really worked well last year. We got phenomenal feedback from attendees last year in terms of the value that it added to where they were from a purpose perspective. We really hope this is a way for like-minded professionals to get together and to look at, have a outlook on their 2017 and commit to what they're going to work to pursue and accomplish in 2017. And it's my goal, it's my job to get the right folks in front of you to inspire, to instruct, and to collaborate with you in that regard. So I want to give you some insight on how the day will unfold in case you're interested. So we were really fortunate to have an amazing sponsor this year, Global Women for Wellbeing, who is co-sponsoring with Motivity Partners. And they will be hosting a breakfast at 8 a.m. To talk about women's issues ranging from leadership, women's leadership, to women and well-being. If you have had any insights or glimpses at the research around women and well-being, it doesn't take long to figure out that a lot of the research is really skewed towards men. And, you know, there's just some natural biases that we're trying to help remedy in terms of being able to address the specific concerns of women. And so they will host a breakfast in the morning at 8 a.m. And then at 9 a.m., we will have a number of executives that will be providing executive insights on the elements that we rally around both on this show and in our work that are part of your forte. So you'll hear these elements echoed through everything. Those elements include your passions, your gifts, your motivations, your purpose, and your vision. And the thinking behind that is that if we can get you and though everyone around us, if we can all tap into what we, one, love to do, which are our passions, two, are really good at, which are our gifts, and then three, what fuels us, what drives us and rewards us in ways that we want to be compensated, and those are our motivations. And then if we take those three things and plug them into our purpose or our calling or the thing that fulfills us, that's where you have a life where, you know, celestial choirs are singing and you can't believe that the amount of joy that you have about your life and well-being. And so what we really want to try to do is create a world where everyone is doing that. And so we really you'll see those elements echo through everything that we're doing. So in the morning, what we'll have is a series around those five elements where we'll have a key executive, in a lot of cases, in crown jewel or emerging and fast-growing organization here in Atlanta, provide an executive insight, and then we'll have a workshop facilitator, in most cases, your Crescendo clients, to facilitate a discussion with with our with the participants to allow them to get introspective and to better understand themselves and to be really deliberate about what they're planning for their 2017. And then further, once we've kind of gone through that in our morning segment, we'll have lunch. And then in the afternoon, we'll have speakers and panels. And our speakers will be clients that are emerging speakers. They'll be sharing their stories, their pursuit of purpose. And they'll be intermixed with panels around contemporary topics that are common denominators around things that people deal with in their pursuit of purpose. So we're really excited about it. It's going to be hosted at what has to be the best event venue in Atlanta. And if you know anything about me, you know I kind of get around and love a good event. And so I was blown away to learn that I'd never been to this venue before. I had the opportunity to go there for a wedding a few months ago. Shout out to Danielle Thomas, Danielle Scarborough, as if I didn't go to the wedding, I didn't know that. She and Kellen, and they had beautiful nuptials there. But the space is amazing. It's a two-story rooftop, floor-to-ceiling glass space, and it's great for vision casting. There is a I do have a bit of a tendency to like to be in spaces that way because of the work that we do. And so we're really excited about it, and we hope that you'll be able to join us. So hopefully that is plenty about the conference. We're really excited about continuing the show. From here, what I'd like to do is let's take a break, and we're expecting my good friend and colleague Ryan Piccarella to join us, so he'll be coming on after the break. Hopefully, we've had a chance to connect him. He's in our green room, virtual green room, hopefully, and we'll be able to get going. And from there, we'll get you introduced to him, and we'll hear about some of the exciting things that he's got going on. He is actually going to be one of the speakers, but we'll tell you more about that when we come back. So, Mel D, can we take a break from here?
Producer Mel D, and thank you for tuning in. We want to thank today's sponsor, Up to Me Magazine, a new, uplifting, and inspiring magazine with stories of purposeful living, such as Meet the Minimalists, the story and journey of Ryan Nicodemus and Joshua Milburn Fields, Less Stuff, More Meaningful Life. An up-close and personal conversation with Will Haygood, author and associate producer of the acclaimed film The Butler by Lee Daniels. And there's so much more. So get your subscription today at up2memagazine.com. And what's your story? Now we return back to our program.
Well, thank you, Mel D. We are really excited to continue the show with you today. I wanted to hopefully we're working through some time zone challenges with our guests this morning, and they're absolutely our fault. And he actually is out of Omaha, Nebraska, and I think we may have confused our time zones. So hopefully he actually just sent me a text there, and he's going to join us here shortly. But I do want to talk to you about something that is, I think, hopefully a great setup for the conversation that we're able to have with him. And one of the things that has been a lesson learned for me over the last year is the importance and the connectedness between purpose and wellness, and why it is absolutely important to have wellness as a priority, both with yourself individually and within the organizations and teams that you're working with, and how that actually is improved by your pursuit of purpose. So before the break, we were talking a bit about how when you have the opportunity to tap into your passions and to leverage your gifts and to reward yourself with motivations that genuinely and authentically reward and compensate you, then that creates this state of presence that is, I use the phrase, like celestial choir singing. And I use that to somewhat be a little flippant maybe, but I really do think that there is this elation that occurs when you're at a state when you're dialing in that way. And think about it. Like, so let's just, you know, for yourself, what I would encourage you to do is think about where you are right now and think about those things as criteria for where you are right now. So do you really love the work that you're doing right now in terms of each day you get up and you love it so much that it in itself drives you to work hard in it because you really love what you're doing? So consider that for a second for yourself, and even give yourself on a scale of 1 to 10 how much you love what you're currently doing. And then if you shift gears a bit and think about how good you are at it, like, does it tap into your gifts? Do you feel like you're organically wired to perform in what you're asking of yourself each day? And give yourself another, a 1 to 10 on gifts. And then if you shift gears again and you think about whether it rewards you in ways that genuinely drive you. And what I mean there is that there are certain motivations that different people are wired differently around. Specifically, some people are rewarded around financial gain. Others are rewarded around security. Others are rewarded around altruism. You also might be rewarded around intellectual challenge or power and influence. And when you're thinking about these things for yourself, it's really important not to get caught up on what you should be, but actually what you are. You're wired how you are for a reason. You've been gifted with a purpose. You've been given all the tools to be able to be able to connect you to that purpose. And those tools show up as gifts, passions, and motivations. And so rather than bemoan or feel guilty about the fact that you're wired for financial gain, embrace that and put yourselves in opportunities where financial gain is at stake. Or whether it's not. And so those three things, if you're sitting there and if you've kind of been keeping track, you should have three numbers there on each of those things. And that will give you a sense for whether you are dialing in on purpose in an intentional way even today. Now, a good place to take that next is, like, what do you want to do about it? You know, Gallup has done some phenomenal work in this space around engagement that really is closely related to purpose. And what you'll find is that the conclusions that they've drawn is just under a third of people in the workforce are truly engaged, actively engaged in their work, love what they're doing, show up in an inspired way. There's roughly another third of them or maybe even a little bit greater in the second group, of people that are functional in their work. They're able to perform in their work, but they're barely engaged or what they would call disengaged. And then there's a final group that's about, you know, just under a third as well, that are actively disengaged, meaning they're really working, they're really looking for the next best thing to do. And it's like, I like to think of those as more shades of gray, more so than whether you fit absolutely in one of the three. And I think that at any point, anyone can give themselves their own pulse check to know where they are on this scale of 1 to 10. And then once you know where you are, then that gives you a basis for acting, taking action. So let's say that you know that currently you're in a role in your career, at a point in a job where you feel like you're at about a 3. That means you're not really engaged in the work. Either you don't love it or you're not good at it. There are a couple of things you can do. So one is to get really intentional about those passions, gifts, and motivations, and to understand those things well enough to be intentional about how to bring more of those to your work. A lot of times people bear the false assumption that something as, you know, dire as a 3 on a scale of 1 to 10 means that you should change what you're doing. Not necessarily so. In a lot of cases, people are in the right place, but somehow their role is shifted off of their sweet spot. So a lot of times, if you can be really deliberate, you can identify those things and try to figure out how to remedy your current situation to better position you to, you know, to be in a better state around those. For example, let's say that you're on a project. So I work a lot with project delivery professionals. Let's say you're working on a project, and you discover that you have a gift, after you do Strength Finder, which is the tool of choice for many of the clients that I work with, that you have a gift that you're not really tapping into. And then you also look around on this project and you see that there is a piece that is not being covered that in some way connects to that gift. You know, maybe there's a healthy conversation to have about the project to have you take that on. And so if you're able to do that, immediately that 3 then starts to drift up to a 4, to a 5, perhaps a 6. So that's
good morning, Reggie. Reggie, this is Mel D. I just want to let you know that our guest is here with us. Ryan Piccarelli is here. Okay.
Hi, Ryan.
Good morning, Reggie. How are you doing today?
I'm so glad to hear from you, sir. How are you today?
I'm great, thanks.
Are you going to tell me how terrible I am that I had this time zone problem? My apologies, my friend.
No, that's okay. I hate that I'm a few minutes late, but no worries, man. Glad I'm here today.
Yeah. You're a few minutes late as a fault of mine. So I'm appreciative that you were able to adjust and, you know, be agile and join us. So I'm really excited to have you. And first of all, I really am appreciative for you and the generosity of your time to even join us today. So thank you for your time today. And I'm elated to introduce you to folks that are joining in the Finding Your Forte show for a few reasons. One, because, you know, I've already, you know, we've known each other for less than a year, and there was pardon the pun, but a fast crescendo in our relationship and us becoming fast friends and immediately finding opportunities to partner. And we'll talk about some of those things here shortly. But what I wanted to do, I guess, as first is to give you the opportunity to introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us what you're up to as of late. So would you mind doing that?
No, absolutely. Thank you for the kind words, and it really is an honor to be with you this morning. So my name is Ryan Piccarella, and I'm the president of the Wellness Council of America. We are a not-for-profit based out of Omaha, Nebraska. So we are in the Midwest, and our mission is to help all working people everywhere live a healthier and happier life. And a big part of that is helping people connect to a sense of purpose. We know through research over and over that if people have this kind of intrinsic desire and connection to purpose, that the likelihood of them living a healthier, happier life goes up. The likelihood of them suffering with other issues related to health goes down. So it really is an awesome time for us. I think as we see it, really across the world, it's a problem that everybody's facing. So my mission is to really get the word out and to have the opportunity to work with companies everywhere to create really a healthier America and beyond. So it's really great to talk to you and hopefully the listeners out there today too.
Yeah, so on behalf of myself and the listeners and the world, I'm really thankful that you're doing your work. It's phenomenal for me that there is an outlet and a growing awareness within organizations of the importance of creating, a healthier workplace through focusing on the well-being of the individuals and the organizations and being really intentional around it. So, I got really excited. Ryan and I were introduced by a woman that I mentioned earlier in the show, Mim Sinft. She came to the On Purpose conference last year and immediately grabbed me after the program and said, "I got to introduce you to my friend Ryan Piccarella. You guys are going to love each other. We absolutely do." She was right. And you're absolutely going to try to find ways to connect your work. And we have. So she was right on both points. And our connecting and around just really the natural and organic connection between purpose and wellness, which, Ryan, I want to really talk about and explore and kick around with you here shortly. But the really organic nature of the connectedness of the thing that we're about, in addition to the purpose and impact of us individually and like how we're really drawn to making a big impact in the spaces that we have the opportunity to influence, really make for this to be a cohesive and connected couple of topics. But Ryan, I'd really like to have you share your perspective on the interconnections between purpose and wellness, and how that shows up in the way that you're able to help other organizations drive wellness as a priority within their workplaces.
Yeah, happy to. So, my story with purpose starts a long time ago, and Reggie, I know I've shared a little bit with you, and it really, what I realized when I was very young and dealing with difficult times in my family and watching others, that if people really didn't have this deeper sense of purpose and this connectedness to something bigger than them, that they really had zero motivation to do anything else. And by that, I mean, if they don't have that drive, they could really care less about eating well, they could care less about moving more and really taking the steps needed to really live a healthy life. 80% of our costs right now related to healthcare are because of the decisions that we make every single day. Most of the chronic diseases out there are largely preventable, manageable, and certainly wouldn't be nearly as expensive as they are if we thought a little bit differently about how we chose to live our lives every single day. And so it's more than that. I think, wellness is a really fascinating topic, and it always has been for me, because the reality is we know what living a healthy life looks like. And we know for the most part what eating healthy food is and what eating not healthy food is. I always say, in wellness, it's knowledge is definitely not power sometimes, because even those that still smoke out there, you ask them if they know that it's, if it's healthy or not, and they're going to tell you that, they know that it's not, but they don't care. And why is it that they don't care? And what is it that prevents people from making better decisions every single day related to their personal health? And it really goes beyond that. How do we start thinking differently about raising our kids, our families, what happens in schools, what happens in organizations? And so we found over time that if you can give people a sense of hope and a sense of purpose and to really connect them to something, to give them their why. So what is their why for being healthy? For some, it might be, you know, running a marathon, but that's really, you know, a small percent of the population. For others, it might be able to ride their bikes with their kids, or being a good spouse, being a good parent, you know, being a good coach, you know, whatever it is, but really helping people find that deeper sense and meaning to help them make those lifestyle decisions. And I always use my mother as a great example, and she struggled for, you know, most of her adult years with a lot of medical problems. And, you know, giving her that sense, and for a long time, she lost that sense of purpose. And weight was the last thing on her mind. It was really finding that deeper purpose in life that meant more to her than anything. And when she did, and when she was able to reconnect to something that was more meaningful and bigger than losing a couple pounds here and there, the health behaviors began to follow. And then it was much easier to lose weight. It was much easier to find that motivation and to dig deeper to really get that energy to start doing, you know, healthy choices, you know, every day. So it's helping people, and I think when people really struggle, and stress right now is the biggest issue that's really facing, you know, most Americans and really most people across the world. And what is it that's creating that stress? And until we can really get down to the roots of helping people that are dealing with those things, you know, eating well and moving more really are just outcomes of a much bigger problem. So at WellCode, I know the work that you're doing is awesome. I think this is why when we met, I know we had that kind of, you know, immediate sparks fly between us, and it really has been, you know, in the short time that we've known each other, I know we've got such a great, you know, friendship, professional and personal growing, and it's awesome to see how different parts, you know, of the industry, different fields are coming together to really help people find this deep-seated, you know, intrinsic motivation to live a healthier, happier life.
You know, what I find is the common denominator when people are talking about purpose and well-being, and you kind of hit on this, and I'd love to, you know, kind of dissect this if you don't mind, there's almost a foundational, I guess, common denominator that people have. It's a mindset. Like, you got to value yourself enough to, one, take care of yourself, well-being, and then two, to value your contributions enough to be intentional about tapping into your purpose. So it's almost it's like both of them emanate from this. I know me and my and I value what I should be bringing the world enough to make good decisions in both those realms. I mean, would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that we have to, you know, that, and I would take it probably one step farther. And I think, you know, for all of those that work for an organization, I think understanding how our contributions, even in that particular job, impact the greater good. I mean, I really think businesses are, you know, in business for people. I mean, we're in business to give people opportunity, to give people, you know, a sense of meaning every single day. And so it's really, this is why it's so important for, you know, leaders and organizations to really to share their vision and sort of connect people with, you know, sort of their role. There's a great book by Studs Terkel called Jobs, and it really looks at all different kinds of jobs, and regardless of what kind of position you're in, but these individuals really have this deeper sense of connectedness to whether you're a baker, whether you're a janitor, whether you're an executive, a manager, a line, you know, lineman, whatever the case is, but really understanding that, you know, you getting up every single day matters. It matters to you as an individual, the work that you do, the contributions that you make, whether it's, you know, philanthropic, whether it's to your family, whether it's volunteer, whether it's to your job, really have a deeper meaning. And I think people really need to have that kind of connection to the work they do. And if they don't, I think it really, you know, impacts their overall sense of purpose. And I think you're right on the money that we need to feel as individuals that the energy that we expend every single day and the things that we do have some kind of payoff. And it's not about, you know, financial payoff. It's about, you know, what we do helps somebody, or what we do improves someone's life, or what we do improves our family's life. And if we go to work and we look at making a good living, that we do that so that we can create a better life for those around us, for ourselves, for those that we love. And I think we need to kind of have that reinforced to really live a healthy, happy life.
You know, that is so rich, Ryan. And I think that one of the things that I often talk to people about when they're exploring this topic, in a lot of cases, when they're demonstrating perhaps symptoms that they're not really tapped into, as you put it, you know, the fact that the work that they're doing matters,
a lot of times it's all about perspective. It's all about just understand, like, you know, I'm definitely intrigued to get this book you're talking about. It's especially, it sounds like it explores the, you know, why it matters across a range of different jobs. In a lot of cases, people aren't aware of that. They just kind of see themselves in this, you know, they've kind of put themselves in this box about this job that they're doing, and they don't put it in the greater context of what contribution it's making. I often use, I connect this to a story that I love to share, and, you know, but people that are around me probably get tired of the story. But there's a story about a priest that there was a church that burned down in London, and as the new church was being built, he was, you know, spending some time with the folks that were working on the new church, and, you know, he just wanted to, you know, let them know that he appreciated their work. And so he started, you know, he was kind of spending the morning talking to different people that were on the construction team. And he came to, like, these bricklayers. And the first bricklayer, he stopped and asked him, he's like, "What are you doing?" And then he said, I'm laying bricks. And they had, you know, a brief conversation. They moved to the next guy, and he asked him, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Oh, I'm building a wall." And they had a conversation. He moved on to the final guy, and then he asked him what he was doing in there. All doing the same thing. And this guy says, "I'm building a cathedral to the Almighty." Now, you think about that for a minute. These three guys are doing the exact same job. But who do you think is really dialed in to what they're doing? And more likely or so. And not only that, but, like, who is more likely to show up in an inspired way? So in a lot of cases, it's really about just having a better bit of perspective about the impact of your job and, like, why it matters, and connecting that, and just being a level of awareness and intention about that automatically, like, puts you in a better mindset, so that you are more healthy, you are, you know, you are better centered in your state and your, you know, kind of contributions. And so I'm often fascinated with that, by that as an opportunity to really just kind of start with simple things, for, you know, people to put them in a better state of well-being.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that's a great analogy. I think the reality of some, you know, unfortunately, in a lot of situations, is you might have those three individuals building something, but nobody told them what they were doing. And,
right.
You know, in the case of the guy building the cathedral, and I think you absolutely have to have that perspective, and he's definitely going to come, you know, bring his A game every single day and be inspired. But if no one told him what he was doing, then, you know, he may never know. And I think this is where, you know, businesses also have to help, and where it's kind of on their obligation to really, you know, sort of convey that message and to let people know you are part of something big and something great, and your work is meaningful and matters. And I think, you know, this really is going to be a business imperative in the future. I mean, millennials right now, I don't hear a lot about millennials, make up 18% of the workforce. I mean, they are the majority, and we've got over four generations working in the workforce today. And I think this, you know, connection to having, you know, to be part of something bigger is something that's going to be demanded, you know, in future generations, and certainly, you know, with millennials and others as well. And I think it really, I mean, all you hear businesses talking about, how do we get top talent? How do we retain top talent? How do we get top talent? And this is going to be a really important part of strategy, because we all want to build cathedrals. And I think it's important we all want to work and feel like that what we're doing is special, it is meaningful. And I think that that's really got to be an important part of how organizations think about their employees. They're not expendable resources. They really are the foundation, the pillar, the building blocks of building something great.
Yeah, there's so much that's there that I would love to expand on. I think that what you kind of landed on is this leadership imperative with regard to purpose, and the importance for leaders to understand how, just like what you said, to share this vision that to this bricklayer, that they're building a cathedral to the Almighty. And imagine how even to continue that analogy, although it's we beat it pretty good, but imagine how much better progress they might have made if that first bricklayer already knew that he was working on a cathedral, you know, to the Almighty, just based on the foreman having had a conversation with him. And this is what we need for you to do each day, and this is why we need you to do it. Here's why it matters, and we really appreciate you. Imagine he potentially wasn't late in, you know, meeting their milestones. There's a range of benefits that occur, you know, just from people being able to tap into their more inspired self and be more productivity. There's a really helpful talk that I like to share the video with of a guy that has he leads this company called Mind Valley, and his talk is all about happiness is the new productivity. And it doesn't take long to, you know, kind of connect the dots and realize that if you can create a workplace where people are tapped into and loving the work that they're doing, and they're aware of the contribution that it's making, that it makes them happy and it gives them a better sense of self, and you know, they realize they matter. And, you know, Ryan, one of the things that I often share with leaders, because, you know, this whole notion of embracing purpose, nowadays it's starting to warm up with leaders, but there's some reluctance, if you will. There's almost this, I often deal with this fear that if you're embracing purpose with, and they don't know, always say it, all right, but it comes up, you know, eventually, even if it's just beneath the surface. There's this fear that if I encourage people to pursue purpose, their purpose will be somewhere other than me, you know, or in this job, or, you know, where they currently are. And as you might imagine from having a mentality like that, that's, you know, kind of fear-based, that you miss out on the opportunity to create a space for a person to bring their absolute best contributions. And so if you keep people in this really kind of, you know, job function, you know, do what I need you to do, and let's, you know, let's have a fair wage, and we'll both, you know, go home happy, like, kind of, you know, state, then you may or may not really kind of bring that best state to them. But what I often find out is that, or realize, or share, is that, you know, a lot of times companies, it's almost a discretionary item for them to figure that out now. But to your point around millennials, all of the challenges that companies are having in terms of engaging that growing, emerging workforce is the fact that purpose isn't necessarily always a priority within the way that they manage talent. And there's some really fascinating research out. Deloitte had a study that in essence concluded, you know, around millennials that said, you know, engage millennials with meaningful work or watch them walk out the door. And so, you know, we have a tendency to hear that and think, oh, my God, they're selfish and they're job hoppers and there's no loyalty. You know, but in a lot of cases, what they're demonstrating is a demand for companies and for leaders to get the best out of them. And it really, you know, it's not necessarily a heavy lift, but it's certainly something that is aspirational.
You know, most of us, you know, out there that are working today are probably not doing the things that we dreamed about as kids. You know, we grow up and be a firefighter or a doctor or a lawyer or an astronaut or whatever the big dreams are. I mean, I was in HR for over 10 years, and I can tell you that at any point in my childhood did I think that I wanted to be an HR professional. And not that I didn't enjoy it, it wasn't exactly what I wanted to do, but I think, you know, there's very small percentage of us that are actually probably those childhood dreams, and I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing, but I think what we all, you know, require out of our jobs is to go to a place where we feel respected, where we can achieve our goals, where we can be our best selves, that appreciates us for our, you know, unique skills and talents, regardless of what we're doing. And I think it really is. I mean, I don't think we have a choice. And if we're worried about millennials, you know, leaving us or anybody leaving us or turnover, or what if we connect someone who has a sense of purpose that's not with their job? I think the alternative is even worse. What if we don't invest those types of, you know, opportunities to help people really connect with, you know, their skills and talents. And if we don't really allow people to be their best selves, we're going to repress talent in our workplace. And I think it's really going to have an impact. And I truly believe that the best places to work, the employers of choice, the healthiest organizations are really going to be those companies that spend time helping bring out the best of people and to treat people with caring and respect. And if ultimately that individual decides that that's not their home and that they want to work someplace else, that we support them in really achieving that. And I think that ultimately is how businesses are going to have to start thinking about, you know, their employees in order to be successful.
Man, did you say a mouthful there? And I'm so elated that you brought it to, I think that's a great place to, you know, kind of land that, you know, that conversation. There's so much to think about there. And I'm fired up and inspired just to, you know, bring a new and fresh message to leaders this year. I'm really, one of my priorities for 2017, and you know, in some ways I'll just say that your Crescendo has really kind of been up to this point, focusing on what I would call low hanging fruit, you know, and I'm being colloquial a bit here, but basically we've been focused on, you know, people that were already kind of in my network that, you know, pursued, that were interested or had value around purpose. It was an easy conversation for me to have with them in the stuff that we're talking about. But I really want to start moving this mountain around, you know, moving the mindsets of leaders this year and really kind of focus on leadership on purpose. And the content that, you know, the points you just shared, I think will really be really helpful in that dialogue. And prize if I try to tag you, or, you know, plug you into a couple of those conversations as the year unfolds. But if you don't mind, I actually want to shift gears a bit. I recently had the humbling opportunity to navigate through the Finding Your Forte process with Ryan. Ryan is actually going to be one of the speakers. So if you've enjoyed this talk, then you would love to hear more from him. So definitely join us at the conference on Friday. And, you know, the marketer in me is saying, tell them the URL again. So the URL is 2017onpurpose.eventbrite.com. But I wanted to bring this up or shift gears to more purposely and introspectively talk with Ryan a bit. You know, so going through this process with Ryan was kind of like, as you can hear, Ryan is already kind of wired around this. So imagine if you had to, you know, try to say, here, Michael Jordan, like, this is how you shoot a layup. And so you're going through the process of teaching one of the greatest ever how to make layups, and you absolutely are just, you know, through his commitment, you know, to the process, you have the opportunity to watch the natural and organic athlete show up, and through that process. That is what the experience was like collaborating with Ryan as we went on. For him, what really was more of an affirmation of purpose, and to do so in a really intentional way, and maybe even have some insights gleaned from, and to be more introspective and intentional about his passions, his gifts, and his motivations, and then his purpose. Ryan, if you don't mind, like, share what that experience was like for you, just in terms of having the discussions that we had around your own discovery there.
Yeah, thank you. You know, they were powerful discussions. I think sometimes you need that mirror kind of dangled in front of your face a little bit to kind of help you reconnect with, you know, what might already be there. And going through the process and kind of hearing you hear me, I think was really a powerful exercise. In a lot of ways, it was, you know, affirmation. I think it brought, you know, some clarity to me going through the process. And you know, I don't know that, you know, sometimes we might be dialed in and connected to that purpose and we're passionate and wake up every day and we have that. But sometimes maybe we don't exactly know where some of the root of that might, you know, be coming from. And so I think, you know, going through the various assessments with you and kind of reading through those and saying, yeah, you know, that makes sense. And then, you know, the ones that maybe weren't as crystal clear to kind of talk those out and have that experience kind of working with you. And again, sometimes it really just helps to even hear yourself talk, even if you're not even saying anything when they're in, but just to sort of go through that exercise and, you know, kind of make that an intention to truly get a depth of understanding of what is already there. So, no, it was. I mean, you're great at what you do, Reggie. I mean, it really was, and it's probably the first time that I've really spent, you know, some very focused time of mine going through some very deliberate exercises to kind of peel the layers of that onion down and to really, you know, dig deep into what, you know, where those passions came from and how do we fully take advantage of what's there to, you know, kind of further our mission as an organization. I mean, as you, I love what I do. I mean, I think that, you know, I have one of the best jobs in the world to think about how do we wake up every day to think about how do we help people get better. And that's, you know, that's what I do and that's what I love. But I think going through, you know, the exercises was really, for me, it was eye-opening. I mean, it was eye-opening. I think it's, you know, it's emotional a little bit as you start really getting introspective. I think having, you know, someone that you've, you know, you don't know me all that well. We're getting, I feel like we know each other well, but in the short time that we've gotten to know each other, but to have sort of a neutral, you know, party on the other end that's not there to judge, but just to help kind of cut through some of the noise and to really dial in was pretty cool, man. I mean, it was really an honor to work with you and very insightful for sure.
Yeah, I likewise was honored just really at the way you showed up to the conversation. I mean, you're right. Our friendship has been fast and furious, and you know, and that showed up, and it really contributed to us being able to have a healthy and productive conversation with you that allowed you to be candid and transparent and perhaps even vulnerable. And hopefully it was worth your time in terms of having you frame up, you know, kind of where you're headed. I think it, you know, you shared that, you know, you love what you do. I would add that you're both really good at it and it clearly rewards you. You definitely have a purposeful existence. It's, you know, I haven't quite come up with the metric for it, but I haven't done this long enough. I've gotten to a place where I can kind of sense, you know, where people are on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of whether they're plugged into purpose. And you were, you know, you had my little purpose meter going crazy when we met. So you definitely are tied in, and we're, you know, I'm happy to be a, you know, to be a part of the conversation as you continue to pursue that. You know what I think. You know, so I'm really excited to hear your talk on Friday. And, you know, maybe something you can, you know, kind of share as we start to get ready to close out here is, you know, perhaps like a preview of, you know, what you're planning to share with us. Give our listeners a little teaser what they might expect to hear from you, to hear you talk about on Friday.
You know, this is so it's, you know, a 10-minute talk, and that's unique. And as you know, I have the opportunity to travel quite a bit and speak. And so this will be a 10-minute, you know, no presentation or no, you know, slides, all of that, which I think will be great. But I think the focus for Friday's talk is really going to be a little bit more, you know, personal and heartfelt than a lot of the talks that I usually give. I think really I think, you know, we all have a unique story to how we got to where we are today. And I think mine is no exception, but really, you know, some of the decisions that I've made and how do we really chase down that purpose? Again, I think we all have this thing in our gut, that little voice that, you know, kind of encourages us to do some things or not others. And hopefully we all have mentors in our life that have helped sort of shape the professional careers that we're in and the people that we are. But I think, you know, again, my story and dealing with, you know, some personal tragedies and, you know, along the way have really led me to the point to where I'm at today. And I think that sometimes we really need to take a step back and to really listen to our hearts and to really think deeply about what are our motivations and what does get us out of bed every day. And those are the things that need to really fuel our fires to what we do. And I tell you, I've gone against a lot of great advice to get me to where I'm at today. And I've had many incredible mentors, and some I've listened to and some I have not. And, you know, I think Friday, I really just want to give a taste of where did this deep sense of a purpose, this passion for this topic, you know, come from? And how do I take that to try to fuel the work that I do every single day? I think, you know, our personal life and our professional life sometimes are one and the same. And I think it'll, in a lot of ways, this sort of transcends everything that I do. I mean, the work that I do, the work that I bring home, the work that I love. And I think Friday, I really just want to give a taste. And for me, you know, most of the folks that I usually spend my time talking to are, you know, HR professionals, executives, you know, really looking at how to build a healthier workforce. And for me, healthy is not eating more broccoli and being on a fitness center or being on a treadmill. You know, healthy is, you said it earlier, is you know, the new happiness. How do we, you know, show up, wake up every day, you know, with a genuine smile and appreciation for the work that we get to do? And so Friday, you know, the focus is really going to be probably more from the heart for me, and just giving, you know, people a taste of, you know, my journey through purpose, both personally and professionally, what it means to me, and how I try to live that every single day in the work that I do and the person that I am.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. I mean, you know, as you know, just to share, I haven't had a chance to hear Ryan's full talk, and with this as a preview, I'm definitely going to be on the edge of my seat, trying, you know, to hear the complete. To hear the complete talk. So, Ryan, I really, really appreciate you, one, for who you are, for the purpose and the contributions and the impact of your work. Two, for being both a good friend and colleague and doing crazy things like flying halfway across the conference, I mean, across the country to talk at a conference and waking up at ungodly hours in the morning just to be on, you know, to convenient for Eastern time show recording. You definitely have gone above and beyond, and I owe you a debt of gratitude in terms of both, you know, in big picture in terms of our, you know, relationship, and then tactically for joining us on the show. I really enjoyed having you, and thank you for coming on.
Well, listen, Reggie, it really is an honor to be here. I tell you, this is such an important topic. And for all the listeners that are out there thinking about this, I mean, there's things that, you know, you can do today starting right now to help connect with that sense of purpose. I mean, this is such an important topic. It's important personally. It's important professionally. As business leaders, it's something we need to start thinking about, talking about, figuring out, trying to help the people around us with. And honestly, man, I mean, this is what it's all about. And this is really kind of the heart and core, I think, of why we get up every day and do the things that we do. So it really is it's a gift to me to be able to be here. And I can tell you that, you know, getting to know you and you know, learning from you and having the opportunity to like I said, go through the process with you has really been, you know, quite an honor as well. So I really am in debt to you to be here as well, and I hope all the listeners were able to at least, you know, connect to something today and hopefully start thinking a little bit more about what they can do, you know, for themselves and how important this is, because, you know, like I said, it really is at the core. So looking forward to helping, you know, improve lives, man. I mean, this is where it all begins, and I know we've got a lot more great things planned for us in the future, so I know this is one of many things that we'll get the chance to do together. So thank you again, and can't wait to see you on Friday.
Same here. Let's definitely be about doing that together. And on that note, I will, you know, let us both get our day started. I know we got tons of stuff waiting for us to give it some attention. You know, safe travels, and you have my prayers as you embark on the travel to get here. Thank you so much for that. And with that, thank you all for joining the Finding Your Forte show. I'm really excited to close out the show with one of my favorite songs in the context of purpose, a track that we were really elated to have the artist and her team give us permission to use on the show. It's called Free Your Dreams, and it's by Shante Can. And definitely take a moment and find that track and stream it on whatever listening platform you use, you know, whether it's iTunes, but I would definitely encourage you to check the song out. We're actually about to listen to it here as we close out, and with that, until we have the opportunity to talk next week, I encourage you to find your forte, compose your masterpiece, and play your crescendo. Have a great day, everyone. Bye now.
Kids.